Welcome to the Fire and Earth Podcast with your hosts, Jason Mefford and Kathy Groover. Fire and Earth, giving you the keys to unlock your limitless potential.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Fire and Earth Podcast. I am your co-host, Kathy Groover.
And I'm Jason Mefford. And today we're back to talk about love, love, love. Bum, 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 bum. Right. It brings up like all different kinds of stuff. But what about love, about the love languages?
Mm-hmm. And when we hear the love languages, and for those of you that have read the book, it's specifically tools and techniques so that you can relate to your partner in love. So when you figure out what your love language is, and we sat down and figured out what ours was, I remember what mine are, that's all we need to know, and we find out what our partner's is, because so often there's a disconnect. One person might show love by acts of service, and the other person is like, I can wash my own car windows. Why do you think I don't care about that? So there's that disconnect there. So we're not going to talk about relationships, though. We're going to talk about the five love languages in self-care, because we have, well, our primary relationship is with ourselves. Yep. So why not take this technique and use it to make sure you are getting your own needs met from yourself?
Yeah. Well, and because like you said, the book was really kind of written about relationships and usually with significant others, right? But you can also use these concepts. And as we talk about them, you can use it for self-care, but you can also use it in your relationship with other people as well, right? Because the more, you know, and there's all kinds of personality tests like Myers-Briggs and other things like that that are out there, the DISC model for communication. Mm-hmm. Those are all tools to help us be able to interact better with other people. So as we're talking about this, yeah, we're going to be applying it kind of towards self-care and realizing again, how can we soothe ourselves? What can we do to help ourselves? But it's also, as we're talking about these concepts, think about how can you use this in your relationships as well outside of yourself?
So for those of you who don't know, let's talk about what the five love languages are. So the first one is physical touch. Mm-hmm.
Physical touch.
Yep.
That's like touch, 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 right? It's literally physical.
That is what that is.
Okay.
Physical touch. And that happens to be my first love language. I love hand holding, cuddling, snuggling. If you walk by and just touch my back, if you touch my head, that to me means you love me and that you're that you're there for me. Now, how do we translate that into self-care? Well, I can ask a friend for a hug. I can go get a massage. I can do something, a facial, a haircut. I mean, even getting my hair cut to me, someone playing with my hair, scalp rub, all that stuff feels good to me. So in a self-care regimen, adding something in that is touch involved is going to be really important to me. And that's going to help me get my needs met. So that's one of the ways that we can translate that from relationship into how we're caring for ourselves.
Yeah. Because getting hugs from other people is great, but literally if you're just by yourself, just touch yourself. Okay. I mean, you're looking at me all funny, right?
Sorry.
Thinking about songs and other stuff that are going on. But okay, so here's the thing, right?
Oh, my mind. Yes. Yes. Touch yourself.
You can touch yourself however you feel like, but. But yeah.
Sorry, I'm a 14-year-old boy sometimes.
But you can't, I mean, literally actually just like, you know, stroking your arm a little bit.
Absolutely. Or a hand rub or a scalp, temple, absolutely.
Rubbing your ears a little bit, doing things like that.
That's a good one.
Is actually a way where, you know, if you're feeling a little unhinged, you can kind of relax. And again, if there's nobody else around to be able to give you a hug, you can do a few things like that. And actually like rubbing your ears like that.
Yeah, very soothing.
It actually feels really great.
Yeah.
And so you can actually incorporate that kind of stuff in as well. Okay. So
wasn't it you that talked about hugging yourself, that you could actually do this and hug yourself?
Yeah. It actually sounds weird, but literally, yeah, you give yourself a hug and you actually feel better.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems a little weird, but do it. It actually works. Yeah. So
absolutely.
That's kind of touch yourself. How about words of affirmation?
Words of affirmation. Yeah. And we did an episode on affirmations of, you know, I am fabulous, I attract money, whatever it is. This is a little bit different. In partnership, the point of that in the book is words of affirmation are, I love you, you're important to me, you're beautiful, you look great, I'm so happy you're in my life. That actually is my number two one. I love hearing that. I love hearing that I'm appreciated, that I'm loved, that I'm cared for. So in relationship, I like that verbal feedback. So I like the physical touch and the verbal feedback. But what about in self-care? What can we do with words of affirmation in self-care?
Well, even just like what we've talked about with affirmations, that you're telling it to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And so again, even the simple things like, I like myself, I'm valuable for who I am on the inside.
Yeah.
Saying all of those things, we can actually say those things to ourselves as well.
Absolutely.
And also help soothe and give us, kind of what we need to hear there. So it's a little ironic, but yeah, the affirmations that you're doing to try to change your beliefs or to manifest certain things also help you in self-care.
Yeah.
If that happens to be one of your love languages.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So next down the list, we've got quality time.
So is quality time like going to dinner and then just like sitting on your phone the whole time and checking the sports scores?
Well, yeah.
Isn't that quality time?
Works for me. If the Steelers are on.
If the Steelers are playing, right?
It's all over, man. Like, don't even expect to hear from me for the next 5 hours. And don't sit too close because you'll get a terrible towel in the eye. It's happening. So
what is quality? Quality time is not just being with someone, right? But it's actually spending quality time with them.
Well, and it depends on what quality time means for you. Is that sitting in a movie theater? Is that sitting there watching TV? Is that a dinner? Is that gazing? You really have to define what that means to you. But for self-care, if quality time is one of your one or two top love languages, and we all have a mix of all of them, we all need a certain amount of all of this, maybe you take yourself for a walk on the beach. Maybe you take yourself to dinner. Maybe you take some time to meditate. Maybe you consciously pet the cat. It's giving yourself time to do whatever it is you need to do to recharge. And I'm very guilty of this. It's my third on my list of the five love languages, but I don't typically give myself enough time to enjoy the things around me. And it's funny because when I finished my schooling and I got my PhD, my diploma had arrived. And I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, I got my diploma. I'm so excited. Oh good. So now I'm gonna, and I launched into this thing and my client goes, Kathy, like, what? She goes, you just shit all over your PhD. Can you give it 10 minutes to sink in before you move on to the next thing? That's what I tend to do. I'm okay. Well, that's off the list. What do I do next? And I realize I have to slow down and I have to give myself that time, one, to process things, and two, to actually enjoy the things that I've worked so hard for. If you're just moving on to the next thing and not taking that time, then what'd you do it for?
Yep. Well, and like you said, the quality time can look like a lot of different things depending on how you value or what you consider to be quality time.
Yeah.
So like you said, going for a walk on the beach, going to a garden, going on a run, just doing something that is purely for you, even if it's only 5 or 10 minutes, it gives you that you time, that quality time with yourself. Uh-huh. And especially for people that are introverts, like I'm actually an introvert. I know you're like, what?
I don't know the introvert you.
You don't know the introvert me. I need some time by myself to be able to recharge.
Yeah.
And so again, sometimes that could even be just, silently sitting with myself for a while or, picking up a book and reading.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with business or anything else, just something for pleasure that you can spend 5, 10 minutes, a half an hour on. To be able to give you that quality time that you need.
Yeah. And I am a crazy, crazy extrovert. I am so high extrovert. And there are still moments where I'm like, okay, I'm an extrovert till I'm not. And I hit that level where I fill up and I'm like, nope. And I want to go into my little only child space. And I want to sit in a room by myself just for like 10 minutes. And then I'm ready to be an extrovert again. So you have to determine for you where your limits are and be aware of that. Just like in relationship, it's important to be aware of what your partner's needs are. It's important to know what you need and honor that as well. So we've got physical touch, words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts.
Because diamonds are a girl's best friend.
I don't have my jewelry on, but
you have jewelry on today. Yeah. So some people prefer to receive gifts, right? And so again, if for ourselves, we can do the same things, right? It's okay to buy yourself gifts.
Absolutely.
In this, I think it's usually how I found it that works well for me is, you know, I look forward to something with anticipation. Mm-hmm. Right. And so maybe I'll kind of force myself to do certain things or accomplish something. And then I reward myself by giving myself a gift. Now, this is not one of my strong languages, you know, for myself personally. But, you know, again, there's kind of this nice satisfaction of, you know, when you're raising kids, we call it gating. You gate the kids, meaning that there's kind of a gate.
You put them in a cage?
You put them in a cage.
Oh, this is why I didn't ask. Okay. Sorry, I misunderstood what we're doing.
but it's as if, pretend like the kid is behind a gate and they want to get to the other side. They have control over the gate. Once you open the gate, you can get to the other side. And so you can use gifts as a way to gate yourself to say, when I accomplish this, as kind of a motivation standpoint, when I accomplish this, when I do that, then I can have this particular gift.
Yep.
And so it's a way of kind of motivating yourself. You know, the one thing with receiving gifts that I'll kind of put in there that is sometimes a little challenge or can be dangerous is, especially if gifts is something that you really enjoy, you just got to temper that a little bit, because some people have shopping addictions and other things like that, where, you know, the only way that they're trying to fill that void is by shopping and giving themselves things. And so you do have to be a little careful about that as well.
I agree.
But there are ways, like I said, that you can actually give yourself gifts to be able to, again, show that self-care. And it's like a woohoo, I did this and I got whatever this gift was. That I got for myself.
Right, exactly. And it's funny, when I was an actor in LA, I had a really dear friend named Boo. Bob Boo. And for the longest time, I thought his name was Babu. Like from Seinfeld, but it was Bob Boo. Anyway, shouting out to Robert Boo. When we would have an audition, and we oftentimes got called for like similar projects or similar plays, when we would have an audition, he would go buy himself a toy. He would literally go to a toy store and he would buy some kid's toy that was just fun for him and he would play. When I had an audition, I would go get a massage. Mm-hmm. So I went the physical touch route. He went the buy himself something route, which is just, the love languages didn't even exist back then. I mean, they existed, but the book didn't. But it was just interesting. And thinking back to that, it's like, I went straight to physical touch and he went straight for gifts. So it's kind of talks about what our personality types are.
Yeah. Well, and it shows, but see, I would even say a massage, even though it's touch.
Quality time.
Is quality time, and it's a gift to yourself.
Oh, well, yeah. No. Well, then everything's a gift to ourselves. The point of gifts is I want a physical gift.
Yeah.
Like a physical, like bracelets and diamonds.
And diamonds.
Diamond bracelet.
Okay, so we've got four. We've got physical touch, words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts. The last one is acts of service.
Doesn't do a thing for me.
Doesn't?
Nope. It's not literally right. One.
It's
one. I only had one of the whole thing when I did the quiz. One.
Okay. Well, so what is an act of service? And again, how can we relate that back to ourself?
Yeah.
Self-care.
So act of service. So I have to say my ex-husband was phenomenal. That was obviously one of his love languages, because he would make me iced tea or he would wash the windows of my car. And he would be very excited when he did that. That was one of his ways of showing love. Hey, I washed the windows in your car, to which I would go, okay. I didn't get, like, cause it's just not one of my love languages that's strong at all. So that was his way of showing love. That's not the way I accepted love. I wanted something different. And I eventually grew to appreciate that, because I knew that was his expression of love. So doing things for people, picking up their dry cleaning when you know they don't have time, picking up dinner because you know they're really busy and they don't have time to cook that night, washing the windows in their car, making them iced tea, you know, all those things, that's that acts of service. Now, how do we translate that into self-care if that's high on your list? It's doing something for yourself. And it's interesting because in thinking about it, I have a client who said, you know what? I hate cleaning my house. When I finally have time off, I don't want to clean my house. She hired a housekeeping service. In a way, that was self-care, acts of service. something that she didn't have time to do, she brought in someone else to do it for her. So it's kind of a twisted way to look at that, but that's an act of service. That's something that someone now is doing for her so that she doesn't have to, which is kind of the basis of where that one came from.
Which I think is probably the best way to kind of think about that. Because again, as I think about that in a self-care kind of perspective, is service is usually always doing something for somebody else.
Right.
But in this case, like you said, maybe it's allowing yourself to take something off your plate that you normally do, like cleaning the house. Well, instead, if, you know, give yourself an act of service by hiring someone to clean your house for you.
Yeah.
Or by doing some of those other things is a way that, again, we can kind of provide that act of service to ourselves. And that frees up our time to be able to then do other stuff, maybe have some of that me quality time if we need that as well, or other things like that too. So,
yeah. And though I have to say, when we do something, when we are of service to others, that makes us feel good. And it's interesting. I had to drop my car for the oil change and all that stuff. And I get dropped off at my office by the car place, but on the way back, I tend to grab whatever client is about to leave my office. And I go, can you run me 6 blocks down the street to get, and I had a client, I've known the guy for years. And I said, oh, you know, can I ask you a favor? If you have a second, and I knew it was on his way home, I said, would you mind dropping me at the car place? I got an oil change this morning. And he said, it would be my pleasure. He said, thank you for allowing me to be of service. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. Okay. I mean, he was so happy that I could let him do something for me. And same thing, I have a very dear friend named Kim who I was very upset one night, and I went to her and some grieving that I was going through. And she said, thank you. She said, I love being of service. She said, I don't get to do this enough for people. She said, so thank you for letting me be of service to you. And it's like, I never really think about it that way because I'm of service to people all day doing massage, as are you. You know, we're teaching them stuff and we're allowing them to expand their consciousness and grow. We're of service to others, which allows us to feel good. So if that is one of your love languages, being of service to others might be that thing that really makes you feel good.
Well, I think it's interesting. The way you brought that up actually made me think, you know, because I think sometimes we, at least for myself, I, you know, acts of service again, for me is lower. And, and part of that might be that I was always taught, you know, to be self-reliant and we do things ourselves and you take care of yourself and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the one thing I've heard before too, you know, is if you're feeling down, go help somebody and you'll feel better. And so, you know, we can do that where, again, we offer to try to help someone else and try to provide an act of service to someone else. But as you were talking, I was even thinking we should provide opportunities for people to serve us as well.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about this in a way of like being a taker and trying to take advantage of or manipulate other people, but allowing other people the opportunity to serve.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of times, you know, we don't get that. And so I think you shared two great examples right there with your client taking you back down to get your car and your friend. You know, those were both opportunities where you were open and vulnerable and allowing them and saying, I could use some help. Would you help me? Because that actually takes courage to do.
Yeah.
And I think, again, this kind of does tie into the self-care, is allowing ourselves to have other people serve us is probably, you know, how one of the ways that we can have that self-care in serving others is allowing people to serve us.
Yeah.
No,
that's really good. And I'm glad you brought, because I was raised, you know, I was raised primarily by my dad, who was be self-sufficient, you don't need anybody, and da 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 da. And so for my entire life, when people have offered to do something for me, I tend to go, no, I got it. And I've actually backed off on that, and I've started to go, yeah, you can do that. Thank you. Thank you. And please say thank you.
Yes. Well, and I've noticed too, you know, the last 6 months, probably especially, I've tried to reach out to more people when I felt like I needed some help. And that was very difficult for me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even the help that they provided, but the fact that I had the courage to ask for help.
Yeah.
That was the self-care for me. And I remember there were a few examples where I felt like this weight on me. And just the fact that I reached out or sent a text to somebody and said, hey, you know, I could really talk, you know, can you talk today?
Yeah.
Just the fact of actually doing that helped kind of release or lift the burden. And I felt totally different, mm-hmm. you know, as well. And so maybe again, that's a way kind of from an acts of service of how we can actually do some self-care is allow other people to help.
Yeah. That's great. I've been doing that more as well, given everything that we've had a heck of a year. But yeah, I mean, there were times I was grieving for my dad or for, you know, and I reached out to people. I'm like, hey, I could use you today.
Yep.
Yeah. So good. Oh, this ended up being a lovely episode. I love love.
So you can use the five love languages that we talked about. So physical touch, mm-hmm. words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, and acts of service. Not only can you use these in your relationships with, you know, significant or romantic relationships, you can use them with other people that you have relationships mm-hmm. with. But as we talked about today, it's also a way for us to soothe and provide that self-care to ourselves
yep.
that we all desperately need at different points in our life. Because yep. when you're freaking out, you need a little self-care.
Just a little.
Just a little, right?
But I love the book. I read the book when it came out. There's actually, through the book, there's the website where you can do the quiz to figure out what your love language is. You probably have an idea of it, but it gives you, you know, would you prefer blah or blah? And you really sometimes have to think about that. So I recommend, it's a free quiz. I did it. You have to put your email in, but they don't spam. Like, I've gotten not one thing from them. So they're not going to spam you with a bunch of crap. But it's interesting to figure out what your language is. And I highly recommend, I don't care how long you've been in a relationship with someone, tell them what your love language is. Tell them what you need to make you happy. Because if your needs aren't being met, there's going to be a chasm that starts to build and it grows and grows and grows. So know what you need, know who you are, and communicate that to your partner, just to throw a little bit of relationship in there. But yeah, well, once again, it's gone really fast.
It has, and we're to the end of this episode. So.
We're to the end. Kathy, excellent.
Any final thoughts, Kathy?
No, it's just, I mean, just what I just said is, you know who you are and what your needs are. Because if you don't know what you want, if you don't know what those values are, then you can't expect someone to meet them. I mean, you can't call up Domino's Pizza and say, bring me a pizza, and then be mad that they didn't bring you the flavor you wanted.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. You have to be specific in asking for what you need. So figure out who you are, figure out what you need, and then ask for it. It's a process. So anyway, having said that, I am Kathy Groover. I can be reached at kathygroover.com.
And I'm Jason Mefford. I can be reached at jasonmefford.com. And we will see you on a future episode of the Fire and Earth podcast. Take care.
See ya.